Good morning, everybody. And happy Memorial Day weekend. I can see that you are the smart people that stay closer to home and don't get out there with all the crazies on the road and the campgrounds. And I'm kind of a Civil War nut. It fascinates me that certain things can just rip a country right down the middle. And so many lives that were lost during the Civil War, I think the numbers are upwards of 620,000. And they're all Americans. And they started out with Memorial Day, actually started out as being called Decoration Day in the late 1800s after the Civil War was over. They wanted to commemorate those who had lost their lives. And they started that. And then quite a few years later, in the early 1900s, 1920, 1919, we found ourselves in another war, a world war. And so they expanded Decoration Day, which was meant just to commemorate the lives of those lost in the Civil War. They expanded it to include all soldiers who were lost in the wars. And then later on in the late 60s, they made it a federal holiday. And then finally, in 71, Memorial Day was officially recognized by Congress. So it is to commemorate those who gave everything so that we have the privileges and the blessings that we have today. And so take a moment this weekend to say thank you for all of those. And you may not have known anyone, and you may have someone that you know. But just say a little prayer and a little prayer of thanks. I believe that the prices that so many paid are a blessing to us. We have reaped the benefits of those who have gone on before us. And there's an old Hebrew saying that says if you receive a blessing from God and you don't thank Him for it, you've stolen it. And so I think we need to remember those who have gone before us and just say thank you, because they gave the ultimate price for us to have the privileges and the blessings that we have today. So just remember to do that. And we are going to get started with Proverbs Part 2. And basically, this is something that came out of an interaction that Solomon had with God. And The temple was built, and they were dedicating the temple, and God was about to enter. His presence was about to enter into the temple, and he met with Solomon. And Solomon asked God, God says, what is it that you want from me? What is it that you want from me? And he says, I want wisdom and understanding on how to lead your people. That is what he asked God for. And God says, and because you asked wisely for these things, I am also going to add so many other things, riches beyond measure. And so out of the wisdom that God had given Solomon, we have a compilation in the Bible called the Proverbs. And these were wise sayings that were brought together throughout the land, and a lot of them are credited to Solomon himself. And there are a couple that are accredited to specific people that we'll learn later. But we look back in Proverbs 1. So Proverbs 1, chapter 1, and chapter 2, and a little bit of chapter 3 are mostly an introduction as to what the Proverbs are. In Proverbs 1, verses 1 through 3, it says, the Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel, they're for gaining wisdom and instruction, for understanding words of insight, and for receiving instruction in prudent behavior, doing what is right and just and fair. So these are a compilation of things that we need to learn so that we can live a life that is just and that is right and that is fair. And just that sentence right there, if we would teach these things in our school system, I think we would have a lot less crud going on in our country. Teaching what is just and right and fair. Because these are things that are just and right and fair according to the Creator. See, we live in a culture that says, well, whatever is just and right and fair for you may not be just, right, and fair for someone else. So you decide. You get to live by whatever rules you want. And God says, no, here are some things that you need to know and put into practice so that you can live a life that is just and right and fair. Psalms 32, verse 8. This is, and God says, I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you with my loving eye on you. This is a picture of a father that loves his kids. And a father that loves his kids will teach them to be good people. He will teach them what is right, what is just, and what is fair. He will teach them the way that they should go. This is the picture of God. He says, with my loving eye on you. Not because I don't want you to have any fun. Not because I want to be a mean dad. But it's because he loves us. And so he says, learn these things so that you can live this kind of a life. So to what end? To what end? What is the compilation of all the Proverbs and what we're supposed to do with them? What is the end result that we are supposed to have? As Christians, in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 17, it says, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. See, God has something for each and every one of his kids to do. He wants us to be a blessing to others. He wants us to be an extension of love to those who are not loved. He wants justice. He wants, decency, fairness. And if you look in our culture, there's not a whole lot of fairness. Justice is a joke. And God says, these are the things that I want you to do. Proverbs chapter 1, verses 4 through 6. These proverbs are for giving prudence to those who are simple. Those are simple-minded people that don't understand anything. Knowledge and discretion to the young. Let the wise listen and add to their learning. So he's talking to the simpleton who isn't not very bright. He's talking to the young. He's talking to the older people and say, you know what? You need to listen and add to your learning so that we don't get to a point where we know everything. I know you know some of those people. We don't have any in here, but there are some people that think they know everything and you can't teach them anything. And let the discerning get guidance. These are to guide us. The Word of God is to guide us through our lives. For understanding proverbs and parables, the sayings and riddles of the wise. In verse 7, it says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. The fear of the Lord, the awe, the respect for who he is. Understanding who he is and who we are in him. That is what the fear, that's the beginning. That is the beginning. And the problem with wisdom is that most people, you have to start with the fear of the Lord. You have to understand who he is on a growing basis, on a day-to-day basis, and understand who we are, that we don't know everything. And it's amazing, and I'm guilty of it myself. You know, I'll be going through something in my life, situations, whatever, and it's like, okay, God, I can handle this one. I think I know a little bit more about this situation than you do, so I'm going to take the reins in this one. You just, I'll wait. I'll have you in the bullpen, so if I get in trouble, I'll bring in the flamethrower, the stopper. But I got this one. And I don't really like your counsel in this area. I'm going to do things my way. And God just goes, all right, have at it. And Jim has messed up his life in many ways with that kind of an attitude. In the second chapter of Proverbs, in verses 1 through 5, it says, my son, and here's those conditional things. There are promises that are not conditional. There are promises that are a covenant. God is going to keep his promise no matter what we do. Then there are more like contracts. And these are conditional things. It says, "My son, if you accept my words and store up my commands within you, turning your ear to wisdom and applying your heart to understanding. Indeed, if you call out for insight and cry aloud for understanding, and if you look for it as for silver and search for it as for hidden treasure, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God." So the ifs there are: if you accept my words, if you call out for insight, if you look for it, then you will understand what fear of the Lord is and find the knowledge of God. In Ephesians 1, chapter 17, in Ephesians 1, verse 17, it says, "I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better." See, our relationship with God, according to the scriptures, is to be a growing one. It's like when you get married and you know the person, but you don't really know that person yet. And the more that you are married, the longer you're married, the more you're going to know about that person, the more things that you maybe didn't want to know. But it should get better and better and better. And you should, as a couple, should know one another more and more. And so this is saying, I want you to know God more. To know him better. Through what? Through the spirit of wisdom and revelation. That's how we get to know him. See, it's interesting that in the Old Testament, what they had was the written word or the oral word that was kept. That is all that they had. But when Jesus died, he says, you know what? I need to go so that I can send the counselor. So the counselor in the Old Testament was actually the oral or the written word of God. As believers now, we have the very spirit of God that raised Christ from the dead living inside of us to guide us, to direct us, to counsel us. We're at a great advantage. Don't you think there should be a little bit more wisdom in the children of God if we have the author of wisdom living in our hearts?
Amen.
Yet, there doesn't seem to be a whole lot of wisdom. And wisdom is simply the application of the knowledge of God's word. It's not just knowing it. It's being able to apply it in your life. Because knowledge of it and not applying it does you absolutely no good. Zero. But God has given us the spirit of wisdom and knowledge so that he can guide us. See, there is a way, and we'll get to that, Colossians 1. 9 through 11. "For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you. We continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives, so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience." See, wisdom, when applied, gives you the endurance to get through the difficult times. Paul often relayed our life to a race. And he says, it doesn't matter how you start the race, it's how you finish the race. It's going through the difficult part of it. You look at these cross-country runners or the people that run forever, and it's like, I look at the starting line at a big race. Not in person, because I've never run in my life. But on TV, you've all seen them all gathered, and they're all just thousands ready to go, and they let the elite runners go first, and they take off running. And you look at the guy that goes sprints to the lead, and then there's other guys that just kind of draft behind everybody. They all have their own different way of doing things. And you look at that and you go, wow, look at that one guy. He just sprinted. When I actually was in high school, and we had to do all these things during PE. And one of them was running. It was a four. Is it 200 is once?
400.
That's the 400 is once around? That's so far. But it was just the 200 then. One time around? 400. 400 is once around? I don't know. I don't like it. But there was this one guy that I wanted to beat. And like I said, I've never run. I played basketball, and you only run between the lines. I played football, you run a route, you come back in the huddle, and you stop, and you get a breather. I played baseball, you don't run hardly at all unless you get a base hit. And so this is brand new to me. And there's one guy that I wanted to beat. And so they fired the gun, and I just took off running. And I was whooping him. I mean whooping him. Until I got like halfway. And my body says, I'm done. I'm done. And it's like, no, I'm killing this guy. I want to, you know, and it's like, no, my body says, nope, sorry. You've never trained me to do this. And I could barely stagger across the finish line. And I got my booty whooped by that guy. I started out great. Started out just off the starting line. Looked awesome for about a quarter of the way. And then just went. And there's a lot of people who call themselves Christians do the very same thing. They come out of the gates. They taste the salvation of the Lord. And they're just like, yes, this is awesome. And the minute something difficult happens in their life, gone. They look great coming out of the gates, but this says this wisdom will help you with your endurance. If we learn to apply these principles, we can finish this race strong. And that's what we want. And some of us stumble out of the gates. You know, you just don't seem to get it. You're a Christian, but barely, and you're struggling this and that, and it's like, yeah, you're never going to make it. And you know what? By the grace of God,
yep.
We can make it.
That's right.
We can make it through the difficult times. And you know what's really awesome is when you see another runner on one of these long distance ones, and there someone is just struggling big time, and they go and they help them. They carry them across the finish line, and I go, what a perfect picture of what we're supposed to be doing. I've never seen anybody in a race, and maybe it's happened, I don't know, where someone is really struggling, and they just go run by them and just go, kick them to the dirt. No, you see those. But you do see people that are indifferent. Yeah, that stinks. That's too bad. And they just keep going. But you see the other person who's like, no, let me help you. And they're giving up their time, literally their time. But it's in their heart to do what is just, what is right, and what is fair. And that's what we are to be doing with these proverbs, applying them to our lives. And they'll give us great endurance. And the second word is patience. I hate that word. I really do. It's throughout scriptures that we are to be patient with one another. Some people just really irritate you. I know that's hard to believe. But get on the freeway, unbelievable. And it's interesting because I'm so trying. I am trying really hard not to let other people's stupid driving affect my attitude. And it's unbelievable. I'll get in the car, and that's my prayer time. That main prayer time is when I hop in my car and I pray for my kids. I pray for you guys. I pray, and I go, okay, God, I pray. Will you help me not to get irritated? And not within a quarter mile, someone does something stupid. It's like there should be a lane for stupid drivers. And they're not allowed to come out of that womb. And it's like, God says, well, you're praying for patience. This is how you learn. It's like, I don't want to pray for patience anymore. But you know what? When we apply these things to the scriptures, and we quote them to our God and ask God, help me with this. Help me with this. And we pray his word back to him. I think there's power in that. And it's like, okay, and sometimes my prayer is, God, I am not willing. But I'm willing to let you change my heart. Recognizing something in my own self that is not right. According to the scriptures, it's not right. And that's when you go, God, I need your help. I need your help. You know what? If we relinquish that to him, he is faithful to do those things. Yeah. Sometimes we just don't want to relinquish it. That's just the way I am. That's the way my dad was. That's the way his grandpa was. That's just the way we are. That's how us Olsons roll. If you're rolling wrong, not according to God's word, it's not right. And we need to allow the Holy Spirit to help us. And that's why he's there, to help us. Amen. He wouldn't have given us the Holy Spirit if we could have done everything on our own. He would not have gone to the cross had we been able to save ourselves. So he has given us the Holy Spirit to help us with those things. All right, Proverbs 3, and moving on, 3 verses 5 through 7. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him, and he will make your path straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes, and fear the Lord, and shun evil. See, we have our own ways. We have our own way of thinking. We have our own demented gray matter between our ears. And we think we know better than God. And God says, no, don't lean on your own understanding. Don't allow your emotions to dictate and guide you, because your emotions will deceive you. People say, well, just follow your heart. The heart, according to the scriptures, can be desperately wicked. Just follow that heart. Just follow your heart. You know what? Follow God's word. And then he says, then allow that word to sink past the gray matter into the heart. And that heart will be regenerated. It'll be changed. It'll be molded into what God wants us to be. But you follow a heart that's wicked, guess what? There's nothing but pain and suffering down that road. And God doesn't want his kids to go through that. I never, ever once told my daughters when we go camping, there are certain places that you just did not go, you wouldn't walk through. Because there's hornet's nests, and there's briars, and there's prickly's pears and things. And it's like, all right, girls, that's where I want you to go. I'll see you on the other side. God never does that. It's like, don't go down that road. You know why? Because there's briars and hornets and prickly pears. And I love you. I don't want you to go through that. And then if I tell them not to and they go through it, guess what? I don't stop loving them, but they have to suffer the consequences of walking down a path that is full of hornets and briars and prickly pears. On the other end, I will patch them up. I'll get out the bee sting stuff and still love on them. But as a dad, it's like, I didn't want you to go down. Remember when I told you not to go down there? Why did you? Well, I was leaning on my own understanding, Father. He's a loving Father. He's given us his word and these things, these principles to live by, so that we don't have to go through certain things. And you know what? Sometimes we're going to find ourselves in those just little situations. And it's in those times that he will walk through them with us. Amen. And give us the strength to come through. It doesn't mean that we're never going to go through a briar patch. We are. You're going to go through difficult times in your life. And God is always there. Always there. Waiting for us just to say, okay, God, I got myself in. help me get out. And sometimes it's not even something that you did. You may be in a situation because of someone else's poor choices. And God promises, I will be with you. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. And his heart weeps when we go through those times. So let's try to minimize those times and not go rushing into them. Because there's plenty of garbage out there that we can go through without the ones that we choose to go through on our own because of ignorance or disobedience or just being rebellious to his word. Amen?
Amen.
Proverbs 3:27, it says, do not withhold good from those to whom it is due when it is in your power to act. This is a thinker. I was thinking about this verse going, okay, what is that? What's he talking about? Do not withhold something good to whom it is due. And I immediately went to the people on the streets, the people that beg for money on the corners. And the thing is there are people out there who are just too lazy, don't want to work, they don't want to do anything. They're quite content just to stand there and take your money. And then there are other people who actually need help. And if it says here, it says, do not withhold good from those to whom it is due. To those whom it is due. And the thing I began to think of is, how do I know? How do I know if they're really in trouble? Or if he parked his truck around the corner and is just sitting there begging for money? How do I know? And I've done a lot of studying on that. The Bible says, if you do not work, you do not eat. That's one part of it. Then the other part says, do not forsake taking care of the widows and the orphans. So there's that part of it. And I don't have all the knowledge of their backgrounds. I don't know where they're at. And so I love Oswald Chambers. If you've ever read any of his stuff, amazing, amazing man of God. He gave to whomever asked him. Even when he knew they were a fraud, he gave, and it used to make his wife angry. Why did you give him that? You know he's going to go out there and spend it on liquor or spend it on this and spend it on that. And he goes, you know what? My Bible says I am to give to those who ask. And that was his interpretation. So he says, I'll let God handle the rest of it. I'm just going to give. And I have a hard time with that. And so I've come to the point where I go, you know what? God, it says, when I am in your will, that you guide my steps.
That's right.
And so when I'm pulling up or I see someone, I've asked God to let me know through his Spirit, who gives me revelation and understanding as to what that person's going through. And I will just have this, I'll look at them and I'll go, that person needs something. That person needs something. And I don't do it with all of them, but there's just this overwhelming feeling that you're supposed to do something. Yep. And it's amazing how God takes care of those people when we will be open to the Holy Spirit and his unctions. There's one time that the girls were here at the church and I was coming in on a night and they wanted Taco Bell. Oh, dear Lord. And so I stopped and got them some burritos. And I pull out and I check the stuff as I'm driving and I'm looking through it and I noticed they gave me an extra Supreme burrito. And I went, well, who's going to eat that? Because I'm not going to eat it. And so I'm just driving and I get off the freeway at Argonne here and there's this guy. And he's sitting there and he had a sign that said hungry. So I pull up to him, roll the window down and I go, are you really hungry? He goes, yeah, I'm hungry. I go, do you like burritos? He's like, who doesn't like burritos? And I go, here. He goes, thanks, man. That's awesome. Drive on by. He was hungry. I had extra food. I believe God put that burrito in there for him. It's amazing. And then we had one time I was doing a deep frying the turkeys out here for the Thanksgiving decorating day. And this guy comes and he's got his backpacks on and he's walking through and he's walking up to me and he's like, "What are you doing?" I says, "Well, I want to deep fry some turkeys." And I just got to talking with him and he goes, "You know, I'm not much for asking for things, but do you have a scarf?" Because it was chilly and he had slept outside. He goes, "Do you have a scarf?" I says, "I don't." I says, "But what I do have is hot coffee. I've got some donuts in there. I've got some things that you can just come in and warm up." And so he came in and we gave him some coffee and some donuts and we're just chatting. And in the meantime, one of the turkeys was done, so I brought it in. And he says, "Yeah, I'm on my way to wherever. And, you know, I'm just passing through and trying to get to Montana." And I said, "Oh, okay, great." And he says, "Okay, well, thank you." And so I says, "Well, let's fill up your water bottle for you. And if you want some coffee, you can take that." And he goes, "No, I'm good." And I says, "Well, do you like turkey legs?" He goes, "Who doesn't like turkey legs?" So I broke off one of those turkey legs and wrapped it in foil for him and sent him on his way. He's like, "Thanks." So we finished up here and he was just getting into a car. This was like an hour and a half later on the freeway. He was hitchhiking and someone had just picked him up and I saw him shoving all this stuff into his car. So I pulled in behind him and the driver of the car looks in the rearview mirror and is like, "What's this guy doing? What's this guy doing?" And I think his name was Joe. Joe said, he looks up and he goes, "Oh, that's that pastor that hooked me up with a turkey leg." And I says, "You okay, Joe?" And he goes, "Yeah, I got a ride. I'm heading over to Montana, you know." And it's like, "Well, bless you, you know." And he's like, "Thanks, pastor." And he just got in the car and left. And, you know, if we just allow the Holy Spirit to guide us, he'll guide us away from those who are just going to take your money and who are frauds and who are not genuine. And he'll guide you to those people who really do need the help. And that's what I do. I have no problem doing that. I have no problem. But you know what I do? What I do is I smile at all of them. I don't, like, pull up and there's a guy right there with a sign right in your face. And then, like, "Oh, change the channel on the radio. Oh, everything's okay back there," you know. No. Pull up and give them a smile. Maybe that's all they needed. I don't know. But they're God's creation. He loves them. Maybe that would be the best thing that they got all day, was a smile. You never know. But I do know is that the word says to treat one another with kindness and love. That may be the only glimpse of God's love that day for that person. And you're going to withhold that from him? I believe everyone deserves that. I walk through the hospitals delivering the instruments and implants and I smile. And, you know, most people there are, if they're patients or they're visiting patients, they're not happy. They're not in a good place. The people that are there are usually not very happy. But I don't care. I walk through and I smile at every person I pass. And some people really appreciate it. And some people will just look at you like, "What is wrong with you? Get away from me, you weirdo." And I don't care. And I go by, and you know what? I hand out blessings. I don't, not directly to the person, but if someone walks by and they smile and they, "Good morning," I walk past them. I go, "Lord, bless that person today." And if they walk by and they're grumpy, I do not. I do not. Sorry, you just. And I know that there are going to be some people, because there's people that I see every day or at Kootenai or wherever, and I know them by face, and they know me by face, but they do the same grumpy little thing every time. And you know what? When they get before God and say, "Why didn't you bless me? And you had an opportunity to get a blessing every day that you went to work. I sent a guy through there handing out blessings. All you had to do was smile. And you gave up blessings because you refused to smile. That's your problem, not mine. But I do. I go through and I hand out blessings. And I think it's awesome. And it's what's really awesome is when the people in the they're being wheeled to surgeries or from surgeries or whatever, and they got tubes sticking in and out. I always smile at them too. Because sometimes they just can't smile back. But you know what? And then I say a prayer for them. Yeah. Lord, I don't know what's going on, but you do. I pray that you would give the doctors wisdom and that you would do your perfect will be done in their life. And if you're going to use this to bring someone in their family to you, awesome. Let it be done. But there, our prayers are offered up. And if you look in Revelation, it says that they're kept in a big cauldron. And they're put in there, the prayers of the saints. And there's a essence of a fragrance that is offered up. And I believe that is God saying, okay, there, that prayer has been requested. All right, this angel, you, over here, now, this one needs to be fulfilled. I believe that. I believe that is a picture of our prayers going up. And we don't know. I don't know what's happening. But you know what? My Bible says you don't receive because you didn't ask. So I'm going to ask for those people. They may not be able to ask themselves. They may not know God. It may be the opportunity that God works in their life. They see a miracle and they give up their life to Him. I don't know. But prayers are cheap. God does not say, okay, Jim, that's six. You reach your quota for today. No more prayers, Jim. No more. No. Just keep throwing them up there. Just keep throwing them up there. And don't forget to throw the praise ones in, too. Thank you, God, for who you are. Thank you, God, for what you've already done in my life. Because we can get to the point where it's like, ask, 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 ask. It's like, have you ever known that person that all they do is suck the life out of you?
Absolutely.
All they do is come to you, and they only come to you when they need something? How annoying is that? Are you doing that to God? Are you the kind of person that only goes to God when you need something? Or when things get really, really, really bad? Oh God, I really need you now. Why am I in this situation? Because you don't walk with Him. You only ask for Him as a big sugar daddy in the sky. It's that one-sided phone call. You ever talk to somebody on the phone who never shuts up? Are you doing that with God? Well, hey, God, I just wanted you to know, I could really use a new car. You know what? I'm going fishing this weekend, so I'd really like to catch some fish. And you can control the weather and the rain and the wind, so let's go ahead and keep that down, too. And the kids are kind of getting on my nerves, so why don't you send them on a trip somewhere? And then, okay, thanks. And we hang up. And God's like, what did you? And we hang up. No. Throw up some praise.
Amen.
Throw up some thanks. Be grateful what He's already done. And it will help us to get through the difficult times. Amen?
Amen.
All right. Proverbs 3:31. Do not envy the... You know what? No, you're going to have to come back for this one. It's just too long. I can't get it. I'm going to have the music ministry team come on. It's a good point. The Holy Spirit just said, Jim, shut up. You're done. Usually it's Randy that's like, you're done. But these are things, these are sayings that we can apply to our lives. I know I enjoyed laughing, but there is some seriousness in this too. And our lives are so much better off, so much more blessed when we follow His ways and don't leave, on our own understanding. Because I don't know about you, my understanding is not always the best. My snap decision making ain't always the best. But if I take the time to read his word, allow it to penetrate my mind into my heart, because that's when it's going to come out. The head knowledge doesn't do any good if you don't obey it. And some of us only have bad head knowledge. We need to renew our minds, not be transformed to this culture that we live in, or conformed to this culture, but transformed by what? The renewing of our minds. How we think. We got to get rid of the garbage and replace it with the godly. And when we do that, and we learn how to apply it through wisdom and revelation, through the assistance of the Holy Spirit, we will live that life that Jesus said, I came so that you can have life, but have it more abundantly. And I'll tell you what, the life that he has, the abundant life that Jesus says he wants for us, is completely different than the life that our culture says that it can offer us. There's nothing but heartache and pain down that road. Yet so many of God's people choose that way. They're going against his ways, against his statutes, against his commands. And God says, no, do these things and add to them. Add to your understanding, add to your revelation. Know me more on a daily basis. And the way you do that is by allowing these things to become a part of who we are. Amen. Because we are to be his kids. People should be able to look at you, you know, people should be able to look at you and go, you're one of God's kids, aren't you? Yeah, that's my dad. That's what people should see in every encounter that we have every single day. They should see our Father and his love. So don't miss those opportunities, because they are there every single day. Whether you're going to the beach, or you're going to work, or you're going to Walmart, and Lord knows Walmart needs more of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
I went over to my sister's yesterday. She was having troubles with her sprinkler system. And so I went over to the control box, made sure the water was on first. Went over to the control box, and there's all these buttons. And one had a hand on it. One had an arrow. And one had a plus, and one had a minus, and this one was this, and this one. But that's all it said. And so I asked her, I says, do you have the owner's manual? And she goes, yeah, I kept it. So I opened it up, and I was able to see what all these different buttons meant. I mean, I could have stood there and punched all these buttons, and it would not have worked the way it was designed to work. And the people that created that box sent an instruction manual with it so that you could know how to get it to do what you wanted it to do. I wanted the stupid lawn to get watered. And you got a program, and you got to do this, and you got this action, you got that, and that. You know, but the thing is, this is our instruction manual from God. He created Jim. He knows what he has Jim, what he has in store for Jim to do on a daily basis. You see, Jim just wants to do whatever he wants. Jim just wants to push whatever buttons he wants to push. Oh, I like this button. I'm just going to keep pushing that one. And God says, no, I know the plans that I have for you. I knew you before I put you in your mom's womb. And he's given us this manual. And the problem is, most Christians have never even opened this manual. All they do is wait for someone to tell them. They just let a pastor, or listen to somebody, or listen to a worship song. Instead of going directly to the manual
allowing it to teach you. Because I could have looked in that manual and said, oh, it does this, this, and this, and this. But I don't want to do it that way. I want to do it my way. And I could stand there pushing buttons all day, and it will not do. It will not accomplish what the creators of that system wanted it to do unless I follow those instructions. My encouragement to you is follow the instructions. And you can't follow them if you don't know them. You can't. Well, I got this, God. I'm just going to push my buttons. I'm going to do it my way. And God's like, I created you. I created you to operate in a certain way. And it's not going to happen with you pushing whatever button you want. So my encouragement to you is start learning the manual. Not just Bible dipping every once in a while. Oh God, I'm in a terrible fix now. I'm just going to trust you to give me the answer and pray. And open your eyes. Oh Lord, God of our fathers, gave us the spirit of wisdom and revelation, who helps us through the manual. It's awesome to have someone go through the manual with you. Well, yeah, but it says over here, follow the instructions. Because he created you. He created each and every one of us. And he created us not to just to come and sit in blue chairs on a Sunday. He created us to show his love to other people, to brothers and sisters in Christ, and to unbelievers who do not know him. So let's do that. Know the instructions. Follow the instructions. Be obedient to the instructions. And then sit back and watch the Holy Spirit just do amazing things. Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your word. I pray that each and every one of us would have a hunger for your word so that we can know you more and more on a daily basis. We ask that you would be with us the rest of this weekend. Help us, Lord, to remember those who have gone before us and pay the ultimate price so that we can meet together. Because there are other countries where this is not needed. So I thank you for that. We ask this in your name. Amen. Amen. Goodness, Mr. Reverend, we pray this in your name.